Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the Conversations with Good Brothers talk show. Very excited to be back with you all. Happy belated holidays. My name is Sean Francis Coleman, and this is
Darnell Ramsey. Welcome, everyone, and welcome. Always a pleasure to have you out with us on a Tuesday evening. Really appreciate your support.
Exactly. I guess I first want to start off how we usually do, man. You know, we've been away for a minute. How was your holiday and how have you been?
My holiday is good, man. Spent some time with the family to get sit down, eat a meal together. So that was good. But I don't even know how to explain that or even express that. Just feeling a little bit different. Good friend of mine came in town from Atlanta, actually, great friend of mine. So we've been we've got a chance to build. So that was a very intellectual conversation, but you shed light on some of the things I've been feeling over the last few weeks regarding direction, you know, and putting a focus on what direction I want to go and moving forward. So just a lot of reflecting at this time, man. That's all. And it's all good when you get a chance to reflect. It's all good. However, you want to start tapping into your purpose, going into your latter part of your life. So you want to make sure you're living life with a purpose and not just existing, existence. So I know one of the things you had shared with me, a little clip from Damon Dash. Couple weeks ago, man, that's been, and I'm pretty sure everybody did, a lot of people got a weird little clip, but Damon Dash was just saying how many of us, are not in control of our lives, how we, we depend on other people to feed us, you understand? So that was a very, very, very interesting point that's been really lingering in my mind for quite some time ever since I heard that. And so me being of an entrepreneurial spirit, I really can relate to that, but something we probably need to build on one of our future future shows and get a little bit more in depth about that.
I think it has relevance today, though, to the topic. You talk about, I've been researching something called phenomenology, and phenomenology is just like an experience of an individual in its relationship to the universal element. And you talk about, you use some very powerful words that I like. You use direction. You use reflection, you use purpose, and I think all of those apply to sports too. You know what I'm saying? Like you think about the direction of a football player, whether it's a running back or XYZ or a basketball player. And I think that in terms of our topic, which is, why so much emphasis and there's too much emphasis placed on sports in the black community, we could go different ways with that story. But in reference, I think connecting it to the Damon Dash thing, we don't always, sometimes we play in sports just for the just to play sports. And I remember I got a chance to meet Michael Jordan, man, and one thing he said was, he said, if your sport can't teach you nothing about life, then why would you play it? He said, this is Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? He said, and then I heard Bruce Lee one time in an interview say, everything I learned about life, everything I learned about myself has been through martial arts and acting. So phenomenologically speaking, I think the sports relates to economics. I think sports relates to life, so most of us play sports missing out on all this other information that it could give us.
It's coming back to the emphasis, and that's interesting because, I haven't been very active in it, but, even taking Tai Chi, one of the things that I used to get from my Tai Chi lessons was how the teacher used to apply it. Well, I used to think everything was saying, I used to apply it to my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really a tactic.
Exactly.
Tai Chi was good, learning self-defense, but it was more or less in the life lesson that I was learning while I was taking that class. So,
exactly.
To your point, I think that, and then a lot of things we'll delve into that a little bit deeper, but sports is a great way to teach you about life, teamwork, being on a winning team, a common goal, win a championship, just winning a game in life, and, learning how to accept defeat, sportsmanship.
Right.
So, those are the things that, when we talk about the topic of placing too much emphasis on sports, I guess we're thinking about the physicality,
exactly,
the mental aspect,
right,
of sports.
Right.
And they have the times, a great one to tell you that the majority of the game is
90%
shoulder on up in your head. So you know, we don't talk about the sports that some of our athletes are not the the smartest as far as intellectual and life, as far as life. You know, they're physical specimens, they're incredible physical specimens, but as far as, you know, using sports to matriculate through this game called life, sometimes quite a few of them fall short. And particularly in our community, when we're talking about that, you know, growing up in the inner city, you see a lot of times that we put so much emphasis on our kids playing sports. And one of the things I always tell our moms that, you know, we, as soon as our babies are able to walk, man, we put in a football or a basketball in their hands.
Right.
You understand? So, I have some Asian friends, or I have some Indian friends that, you know, they're learning how to play instruments, so they're learning how to speak a second language. So the amount of time we spend playing, you know, basketball or football, because the majority of the time it's only two sports. We don't teach our kids too often how to play golf or how to play soccer, which are the more and baseball. Nowadays, African Americans don't play baseball, so they spent 30-40 years ago. But these are the ones that have more longevity than the football. The ones that we push our kids to play football. You know, the amount of hours we spend, you know, in the early stages when our kids are, when the children are developing, when the youth is developing, you know, if we would take some time to do some research and calculate the amount of hours, you know, if we were to put that much emphasis on education, reading, in particular reading, you know, where would our kids be? Well, we have some of these issues that we have academically in our community at the lower stages.
Right.
That's when we lose our kids. Well before they get to middle school. We lose our kids, you know, sometimes in the midst of elementary school experience because they don't have that basic foundation of reading.
Right.
So, you know, I'm always a numbers guy. And, you know, excuse the background noise, everyone. You know, we decided, you know, we're trying to do things on the show or shooting different angles. So you hear an airplane. We're outside right now, so you hear an airplane flying over our head. We drowned out our sound. So we hope you watch us on YouTube. So again, we want to do different shows, different places. And one of the things that I was complaining earlier, when you see a lot of these folks youth league football programs, and sometimes they start as early as 5 or 6. You know, but you know these young guys and young girls that they're cheerleaders, they go to practice like 2 to 3 hours Monday through Thursday. And then they go to the football game on Saturday. So you do the calculations, that's almost 15 to 20 hours that we're designated to playing football. You understand? And, you know, at the same time, where would our kids be if you took that same 20 hours a week and, you know, put them in front of a book or put them in some type of educational program?
Yeah, that's interesting too, man, because somebody put on Facebook today, you know, we need to start handing books down to the kids, and I put a post on there and said, well, first you have to convince the parents to get books to hand down to the kids. So on one accord, I do agree with you, but I think that also, you know, another question along with the show title is that if you're going to place so much emphasis on sports, place on the symbolism within the sport to real life, because if you're going to be spending, like you said, that amount of time playing basketball, playing golf, I don't care if it's hockey, you know what I mean, like what I want to teach my son and daughter, like, you know, the intricacies of the sport and how it relates to real life. Because that's what therapeutic boxing is. I always tell people that I learned so much about myself through boxing. Like, when I'm in that, everything that happens inside of a boxing ring happens in real life. I mean, you think of all the adages and the common sayings that come from it, I'll be in your corner, never throw the talent, always know who's in your corner. You throwing jabs at me, fam. Like, there's so many things. Like, it's phenomenology. It's the symbolism of the sport in reference to real life. So it's just that I think we don't have a lot of mentors and parents and coaches who are spending time on that. If you think it's only about football, dude, then you done lost the real game of life.
But how many of us is about football, man?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, people, you know, and to your point, whatever you're doing in life, when you're talking to a youth, this should be applying every, you know, math. English, you know, well, academic classes should be applied to life. Holidays, you should be talking about applying it to life. But for this particular show here, we're talking about emphasis. And that's the thing that some of our kids, which is amazing. You play all these sports, but you're not a good team player because you're out here killing one another.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? That's the foundation of sport.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So being a part of a winning team. So how are you a team and you're not, you know, loving your teammate? And really, if somebody look like you, that's your teammate.
Right.
I mean, that's your brethren in this game called life. So you're talking about that's the basic foundation, to your point, that we're missing when we're teaching our kids, when we're trying to make these things applicable to the life that they're going to live out here. So, you know, and then just imagine all that time that you have with a young person.
Mm-hmm.
All that time. So, you know, I commend all the men out here who's, you know, volunteering their time to coach these kids, man. It's very, you know, it's commendable to the time. I'm just saying that there are some things that we can work on that add to some things that we can implement during these practice times while you have such a large group of boys. And sometimes in every neighborhood, you see hundreds of boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why ain't there character class?
Exactly. You know,
a lot of these kids, you know, again, at five to 15, which most of these they leave about 5 to 15, about time they get to high school, they stop playing sports. So when the majority of guys are involved, like 4 to 12,
mm-hmm.
that's when they're developing their person, developing their character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why there should be some character building activity on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
You understand? So, you know, those are the things life.
Right. Right?
These are the things that sort of let you navigate and tribulate through life. And we're missing a great opportunity to put a little bit more emphasis on how sports apply to life.
To your point, two points. One point in the sense that, you know, going back to boxing and making it apply to life in a sense that, and it don't just have to be boxing, but when you think about getting punched in the face, that's a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But a head shot, really, you'd rather get hit in the head sometimes than get hit in the body, because when you get hit in the body, it's hard to recover from that because it moves your organs around. When you get hit in the face, that traumatic experience, it makes you alert. And when you've been around somebody who's traumatized, they always alert. Like, unfortunately, somebody who's been raped, they always shut. Like, they're alert of everybody around them. They peep in the situation, and it's the same thing in a boxing ring. If you get dazed, it's like you alert because you don't want to have that happen again to me.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just a different situation. But that's a learning experience right there. And then to your point about coaches, man, I think that we have to reevaluate in certain communities what it means to be a coach. Because I've been meeting with a lot of these young football players at different universities, and they've been saying, like, I have no father in my life. I have no uncles. I don't have any men to go back to. So they've been going to their coaches because they said, I need my coach to be more than a coach to me. You got to put some money in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? I need you to be there for me when I'm crying. Mm-hmm. And some of the coaches aren't necessarily the same, you know, from the same area as them, mm-hmm. and they're not able to relate to that experience. But they're telling me, like, you know, like, my coaches understand, like, I need you to be more than a coach to me
because
I don't have anybody else. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be, so my message to, you know, people, not just in the black community, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's just a poor socioeconomic community, if you're a coach, and I'm sure you already know this, but it's not just about the sport. Like, you really have to look beyond your sport into the symbolism of who you're working with and how you are needed in other different ways.
Mm-hmm. And you just think that word coach is very, you know, coaches, mentoring, coaches, development. That's
right.
What they do. Not only develop physically, you know, your physical abilities, you're supposed to develop that person in the whole. And
right.
I'm thinking, like, you know, coaches back in the day, you look at, you know, the Bobby Knight, who people
right.
had to say he was a tyrant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they've seen him on slab, but you look at the type of people that he developed.
Right.
You know what they're doing out in society. And more recently, the gentleman won the national championship on Monday, Coach K. And you look
right.
at that,
yeah.
you don't hear about his players going to jail.
Exactly.
Raping, you know, being broke.
Right.
Because, you know, even the guys, when they speak to Coach K, how he developed them.
Right.
Developed them
right.
as men. So
right.
to your point, coaches, you know, that's a role in it. And that's why you got to have your assistant coaches, because, you know, you figure on a football team, you got 100 young men. You can't be a father figure to all of them,
right?
Maybe coaches that.
Exactly, exactly.
But to your point, like, you know, we have to, and most of those major universities do have other things in place, or some things in place, but I'm coming back to, you know, in our community,
correct.
You know, we need to get, we need to, understand the importance of building character.
Yes.
Or expecting our young men, young women to be characters while they play in these sports.
Right.
And sometimes we don't even talk about that.
Right.
You know, you're so busy talking about how much of a beast your four-year-old or your five-year-old is running the ball. And it's
right.
like, how, you know, my thing is, how are you a beast at 5 years old running the football?
Mm.
You understand? You know,
how's your beast, man?
I don't know any you know, any guy starting on a high school football team, you get noticed.
Yeah.
You even go to college, but you 5 years old, you should be working on this character and this mental development.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, teaching, you know, you have an opportunity to say, hey, son, it's okay to lose.
Mm-hmm.
In life, you may lose this.
Right.
Go back to applying that
right.
to life instead of letting this boy throw tantrums because he lost.
Right.
Or you hollering at him.
Right.
You know, sometimes these young guys, they care more about winning instead of developing as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then these young brothers
mm-hmm.
are coming out in the community because they get older. But
mm-hmm.
this is an opportunity, like we know about. The study showed that, you know, a lot of us learn from 0 to 7,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a little bit, you know, some of our learning curves are a little bit extended, a little bit more. But, you know, we have that that opportunity to develop these young people, man. Into and parents, you know, we you know, you're a coach too,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. So, what are your kid, you know, biggest scenario? So your kid sees you at practice 4 days a week and at the game every weekend,
mm-hmm.
but he never seen you come up to him, never seen you come up to the school.
Mm-hmm.
What effect does that have on it?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling him it's more important that he plays sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, so he don't know if you look at for 4 months out of a year. He's seeing mom at every practice or dad at every practice, and then he's seeing him up in the stand.
Mm-hmm.
But he has never seen you coming to school.
Right.
So how much emphasis is he going to place on school? What is he going to do? Because we all want our parents' attention.
Right, exactly. So
what are we going to strive for?
Right, right.
If we never seen him up in school. So you subconsciously telling to mom and dad
right.
that is important. Sports is more important.
Right. And you always bring up that term character. And it's really started to resonate with me over the past couple of years. And unfortunately, man, yeah, I don't know if they've ever done a study on it, and they probably can't do it, but I would bet that below, you know, 10% of people in life probably have, you know, admirable character, man. Like, I really believe that character kind of started to go awry somewhere between the 70s and 80s, man. So when you talk about character today, parents, and again, nobody wants to be held accountable. Parents, I think parents in their 40s and early 50s should be held accountable for some of the lack of character, and even their parents
right.
should be held accountable for some of the character that has gone awry. But I see people a lot, you see people a lot, man, who are my age, your age, you know, and even older than us, who behave like they have no character, man. Mm-hmm. So what are
like
what
they don't have no character, or they don't have character? You said like they don't. They actually don't have.
They
character.
Don't have no character.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like no character. And by character, you know, I love the movie 7 Pounds because one of the things in that movie, you know, Will Smith is testing everybody's character. You know what I'm saying? He's putting them through different situations to see how they respond. And in the one scene, he said, "I'm doing this for you because you're a good man when nobody's looking. You're a good man when nobody's looking." And you have a lot of people today who ain't good people, nobody's looking, but they don't really care about, they're the same not good person out in public.
Right, right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You a bad person in your house, but you bring it out, like you have no character because you're showing that outside of your house.
Right, right.
So it's all that trickling down to the kids, and it's only going to get worse if we don't do something about that.
And you know, I was, it's crazy, and people don't take this the wrong way. Please don't take this the wrong way because, you know, we all different, you know, we're all allowed to be individual, but I'm coming back to Coach K, and I was talking to a Duke fan last night since we talked about sports and putting emphasis on sports in our communities. But no knock on that. I don't have anything against tattoos. Don't have nothing against tattoos. Teachers don't do what you do. But, you know, Coach K had 5 black basketball players on his team, man, and nobody had tattoos on
I never even noticed that.
That's, you know, name a group, 5 black young bulls
right.
on college sports
right.
that don't have tattoos on a major program.
Right, right.
I mean, so, you know, that says like, about Coach K's character.
Exactly.
His team, he's always mild-mannered, and his team
good.
Reflects that full common collective.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember I used to be a Duke hater.
Uh-huh.
You understand? But when I look at it, when you're talking about character.
Yeah, exactly.
Character and a coach.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because, I think that, your parents are coaches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of times kids, more often than not, reflect the character of their coach.
That's where the term life coach comes from.
Mm.
Back in the 50s, I forget, but there were two men who actually, they found that people could benefit in professional ways in the same way that sports players could from coaches.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that, like you said, that's a very, you're a coach. As a parent, you're a coach.
You're a coach, right. And you train your kids, God says train your child the way you want to, see fit in the world. And you're training their kids.
Yeah.
So, some of the things that we see now in society is as a result of bad coaching.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, coming back to what we're talking about is how sometimes it's okay for us to mimic some of these athletes who are not good character. Mm. Because they have a large paycheck or a dollar in their pocket, we having our kids emulate them.
Right.
So we're putting this emphasis on sports like, I need you
right.
to make this money. So I'm going to make sure that, I'm going to get you into every sports program out there,
right.
In particular football in our community, where we live at, it's a big football town, but we make sure that we put so much emphasis on, our kids, developing their academic or developing their physical talents
mm-hmm.
to get to this position to where they can make all this money, because we see on TV, you can have these big cars and these big houses if you use your physical abilities. But we don't talk about the character that some of these sports players have been exhibiting on TV. But we just completely dismiss that because it's all about, financial wealth
mm-hmm.
In our society. And unfortunately, too many of us think that's our only way out of our community.
Right, is to take it out.
Is to take it out. I know we got a couple commercials scheduled for throughout the show. So what we want to do, we want to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be back to discuss, the point we just left off on. Sometimes in our community, we think that's our ticket out, but we want to come back to that point when we come back from commercial break. Looking forward to continuing the discussion after this commercial break. Thank you.
You've been waiting on it, and now it's here. X's, O's, and W's. Inspirational stories from successful basketball coaches. The greatest collection of basketball coaches ever in one book. Written by award-winning writer C. Nathaniel Brown. X's, O's, and W's shares motivational and wisdom topics such as faith, family, success, work ethic, teamwork, and character from championship coaches, including Hall of Famers Rick Pitino, Lute Olson, Ann Donovan, and Morgan Wooten. It's more than a sports book. It's wisdom, inspiration, and motivation. Order your copy today at www.ex3ent.com. That's www.ex3ent.com.
Larry McKenzie is the only coach to win 4 back-to-back state titles in the 99-year history of the Minnesota State Boys Basketball Tournament. And now, he is sharing his success and strategies for winning on the court and in life. Basketball, more than just a game, is a must-read for young athletes and their parents navigating the game. Incorporating 10 life lessons, Coach McKenzie shows why basketball is merely a metaphor and a tool that can be used to transform lives. Get your copy today. Go to CoachMcKenzie.com, where a portion of the proceeds will go to support the Above the Rim Sports Foundation, a 501c3 that supports youth sports. Once again, that is CoachMcKenzie.com. Real simple, CoachMcKenzie.com. A must-read. Check it out today.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Conversations with Good Brothers talk show. I'm Sean Francis Coleman.
We got Darnell Ramsey. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you again for spending Tuesday evening with us.
Yes. Brother Darnell, you were talking about, before we get off to commercial, you were talking about, how we need to get back to some of these coaching things and talking about character. And you were talking about how we endear these people who are up at the top of prominence in sports because of the money they get paid, and we try to have our kids be like them. And one of the things I love about myself, Steve, is that when I was growing up, I don't know what it was, but even though I was good at basketball, even though I was a good fighter, I never wanted to gain my wealth or my income off of sports. Like, that's one thing I always pride myself on. Like, I never wanted to be an athlete, even though I was very athletic. Like, I wanted to gain my notoriety off of my academic intelligence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different. Whenever you are an athlete, you know, you're endeared. You know what I'm saying? So part of the emphasis is because we respect athletes. You the man. And then when you got some more character, whenever you have some individuality, you can call it a weirdo. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can call it different, like corny. Be corny, you know what I'm saying? But I just wrote a blog recently to talk about, you know, character in a sense that my dad would always tell me, look, whatever you're doing out there, we don't do that in this house. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know these your friends probably do that, but look, in the Coleman house, that ain't what we do. So, like, he instilled this character in me from probably farther back than I can remember. Mm-hmm. So that was in me. So even when I was veering off and doing other stuff, what was really in me was morals, values, strong beliefs and things like that. So I was kind of coached innately to be my own person.
Mm, mm. But, you know, you always make reference, I haven't had the opportunity to meet this great man, Mr. Coleman, but you always make reference to, you know, that was your coach, though.
Right, right.
So that's a coach case. So you're talking about a man of character,
right,
coaching you and training you.
Right, exactly.
So when you look at some of our, again, I'm not knocking, those are just your brothers out there doing a wonderful job, but, you know, we got to start holding them a little bit accountable to exhibit their character, because when you see your brother hollering at a five-year-old kid or cussing at a five-year-old kid over a sports game,
right,
over a football practice,
right,
you know, you got to really question that.
Right.
You're standing as parents, you know, as a community member, you got to say, hey, brother, are you exhibiting the best type of character for this young guy? You place some more emphasis on this young man's physical abilities, or are you there to build him up and show him how to be a character? Because our community needs more men of character than it does football players.
Mm.
And, you know, even being from Pittsburgh, or broadcasting from Pittsburgh, you know, years and years ago, Western Pennsylvania was a pretty good, pocket for at professional athletes, football players, and even certain schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple schools in the Western Pennsylvania area that have put quite a few people in the pros. However, if you do the numbers, you're talking about, you know, there's almost 10,000 sports players or more than that coming through Western Pennsylvania a year. So for one every 2 years to make it,
mm-hmm,
it's highly unlikely that your son or daughter is not going to make it professionally.
Right.
But, you know, while you have that, we should have at least 5,000 per year young men and girls of character.
Right.
You understand? So, that's one of the things that this reason why we're having the discussion is talking about why we're putting so much emphasis on, you know, the sports side to your point where we should be, you know, incorporating some life development skills,
right,
as well,
right,
while we have them.
Right.
You know, and the great ones, you will hear Coach K, they'll talk about, like, you know, when these guys, when they're interviewing their players, they'll always say how he relates things to life.
Right.
You understand? That's
right.
Why they love Coach K or Robbie Knight, because everybody was having them on the back. John Thompson.
Right.
Let's not forget about him or
all the great ones.
All the great coaches.
All the great
and the players. Yeah, and the great players, right.
Yeah.
So they will tell you, like, my coach, man, it was more about life.
Yeah.
Just as much about life as with sport. We got away from it, because now it's becoming too, you know, getting to, like you said, getting to the league.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, like, well, I got these guys for 4 years, or why I got this young man for this year,
yeah,
I'm going to still character it.
Instead of sacrificing your character for a win.
For a win.
And for dollar signs, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy to me.
And even to your point, you know, because I'm very interested about the financial aspect of this, because I read an article recently from the BME Foundation, and it was saying that there's over 100,000 black millionaires in America, and only 4,000 to 5,000 of them are athletes and entertainers. That means that there's at least 90,000 black millionaires who have gained wealth outside of entertainment. So, and I know you were talking about the Dame and Dash clip. Can you relate that? Can you relate that a little bit to what we're talking about tonight?
And I'm gonna even go back. You know, sometimes statistics. You know, I'm gonna throw a statistic here because I find that, you know, I read that article today. I got that. It was in the Pittsburgh Courier. Where I don't know if I, you know, I would like to see the numbers.
I would too.
Yeah,
I would too.
The reason why I say that, they say the average black net worth of everybody in America, every black person in America, is under $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Your net worth. So if you got 100,000 black millionaires,
mm-hmm,
for our, because I think there's 35 million people in 35 million, 40 million blacks in America,
mm-hmm.
for our average net worth to be less than $1,000, we bring in a hell of a, because we got a couple hundred million thousand, I mean,
hundred thousand million.
Yeah, and, you know, people work for 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just million, you know, 100 million. So how do you, you know, it's a lot of us pulling us out, but, you know, back to that point, that Damon Dash point was saying that one of the things that we as men, we supposed to be able to be, you know, be able to create wealth for our families and be able to give our sons and daughters a job or leave them something when you leave out. You know what I mean? Well, he was saying that, you know, we shouldn't be satisfied with working for people our whole lives. Well, we should be the boss. We should get to the point that we're boss.
Mm-hmm.
We're bosses. And when we say boss, and not to be egotistical, but be able to say, if your son and daughter say, hey, Dad, Mom, I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And you say, hey, son, well, come down to my business, and, you know, you can start working with me tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and he was saying that, you know, you can't go to, even though you may be making a lot of money, NFL, whatever you're in, but
mm-hmm.
if you got to go ask your boss
right.
for a job, you know, what type of, where are you really? So, you know, your boss can have a bad day and come in and fire you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was just thinking about, I have a good friend of mine, man, who has his own business, and he's doing well, you know, and I was thinking, you know, just reflecting over the last few weeks, like, wow, I know a lot of people, understanding, you know, my friend, you know, here in Pittsburgh, he actually has a business, he's been running for over 15 years, and he can give his, you know, as a matter of fact, his son and his daughters do come down and work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, all the people I know, and he's very successful and he's doing well,
mm-hmm.
you understand? But a lot of us, we don't even have that mindset of, like, you know,
right.
in our own. It's, you know, we tell our people to get, you know, go play sports
right.
and go work, you know, go to the NFL and make this money and work for a dude. But a lot of us are not even, you know, too many of us are not taking advantage of all this money
right.
that we're making and setting our families up for one or building business.
Right.
You know, the one brother, brother, I sent you a clip of.
Broke for Life?
Yeah, you knew about it, which is powerful where, you know, he was talking about we don't, you know, we're not in a position we don't own, but we don't even talk about all this wealth, all this economic wealth we have. We don't do nothing with it. We don't have we don't have too many banks, you know what I mean, that we can borrow from. We don't pretty much own like a chain of hotels or chain. Like, what do we do from having all this economic wealth? And me being, you know, being a fraternity member, you know, my great fraternity been around 100 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we own?
Mm-hmm.
You understand, like, you know, we are educated men. What
mm-hmm.
do we own?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that's one of the things that's, you know, kind of scary because we have, you know, we have all these yearly and quarterly conventions,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to buy somebody or rent somebody else's rooms out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We go, you know, we have the conventions in these big stores. As a matter of fact, there's in Pittsburgh this weekend, there's a sorority convention here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So you got 5,000 people coming into Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and they're renting from another hotel chain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there are 8-9 fraternities and sororities that do this every year. They go quarterly meetings, annual meetings every year, and all this money. We're, you know, when do we start developing getting our own? So when you talk about all these millionaires, man, why don't we have nothing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a chain of hotels.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't have the answer to that, but I do have a response in the sense that this might rub some people the wrong way in the sense that I'm kind of happy that we don't have that right now. Because again, coming back to that character piece, not to say that other nationalities have more character than us, but you and I growing up, all we know is being black, right? You know what I'm saying? I know I've been to different nationalities in the cultures, parties, but with the lack of character that we have in our community, do we really think that we want to band together and create a successful chain of hotels? And not to say that we don't have great people in our community, because we do. But, you know, I'm not somebody who's just going to look at my fellow black man and say, I respect you because you black. That's not, and again, I love you because you're a person, and I, you know, of course I have increased empathy for you because we share the same skin color, but what's the point of doing that whenever you a person with no character? Like, I'm just supposed to love you because you ain't got no character? And I guess getting back to my point, man, is to say that what is the whole, you know what I'm saying, If nobody in the community collectively has any character, I think God's plan is bigger than ours, man. And part of this might be part of the separation that God continues to allow us to have.
Mm.
because there's no character. So even if we did have some type of solidarity, I think that we'd be a detriment to our own selves.
But on the flip side, we're talking about you and I who are mental therapists. We cannot just link at that, and I disagree with you. You took the perspective say with me on Brother Sean, like, what if you and I? Well, I think brothers like you think this. How many brothers like you and I
right.
that we can work together? That's why we're doing this show consistently. Right. So sometimes we get this stereotype because there's so much lack of character, because the brothers with character get drowned out by so much lack of character. However, there are, I think, thousands, hundreds of thousands of brothers like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we gotta figure out a collective way of getting our voice heard.
We gotta find it.
From the chat room, it says we have a question. It says the first question that comes out of people's mouths when talking to black boys is, "Do you play any sports?" Wow,
mm-hmm.
That's real talk.
It is.
When you see a brother 6'2", you know what I mean, one of the young guys who filmed our show because he saw. First thing we say, great question, man. I wish I'd have known where you were from. Give you a shout out. Good question. But first time we see a black boy, we don't know. I kill people because that's what they expect me to say. What sports you play? I always ask young boys, what's your grades?
Mm-hmm.
They ain't ready for that because they ready to say, I play basketball, I start.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But that's, listen, that's a great point that this later sister, brother type into our chat room.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you hear that, Sean, when we meet our young brothers or you see when you eavesdropping on a conversation, somebody saying, "Oh, you tall, man. You sick, man. Mm-hmm. What's fun? What sport you play?"
I do it.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Okay. That's how real it is.
Yeah.
I do it. Now I get into the academics afterwards.
Right.
But I think unconsciously I know that that's a way to mm-hmm. get into conversation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Good question, but not too often. That's not an icebreaker.
Right.
That's a conversation.
That's
true. You know what I mean? That's a conversation. Yeah, that's your icebreaker.
That's my.
Let's keep it real. That's an icebreaker. You want to start talking a little bit
right.
more about coming through the back door? But
right.
Jordan sounds like, "Oh, bro, who you play for?
Right.
What's your number? What's
right.
your stat?"
Right.
You know, it goes a little bit further. So I had a conversation on Easter. I had a guy went over to great opportunity. I had dinner with one of my great friends in his summer's home from school.
Mm-hmm.
So his son had brought two of his friends home. So these young brothers, 20 years old, they got ties on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. So my man wanted me to come to me. So we actually started talking about
mm-hmm.
this conversation about why is emphasis, what's emphasis placed on because two of the brothers from Maryland, and the young gentleman from here from Pittsburgh. But he was saying that, you know, I was asking, when did y'all buy into academics? You know, how did y'all buy into academics?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they were saying when they were young, they wanted to be a sports player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they kept coming back to the same thing Mr. Coleman. They kept on coming back to their household was telling them, hey, you want to play some sports, but we want to emphasize not in this house. We want to emphasize my academics up in this house.
Right.
So, you know, when you say, you know, your dad, Mr. Coleman, like, hey, not up in this house.
Right.
Oh, you're going to play some sports, bro.
Right.
Because you're going to stay in shape. Because, you know, sports is a way of keeping you in shape.
Right.
Because we were talking about the intangible things that sports teach you, the teamwork, the conditioning, and some of the other things that you learn from sports. But their households were putting a lot of emphasis on education.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And also you hear, I think, I keep coming back to Coach Day. I don't think that I'm Coach Camnetta, a Duke fanatic. I mean, I just respect Coach K, but he always says student-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You're a student-athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Not athlete-student. You're mm-hmm. a student-athlete.
Right.
So when we're talking to these young brothers, you know, in football, why can't we call them a scholar?
Right.
You call him Nick Berry Sanders. No, you're a scholar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Same thing. You
right.
know what I mean? Hey, scholar. A nice move, scholar.
So you're talking about sports. Right.
But you also put in his head, you're a beast. What is a beast? Well, you calling a young boy a beast. Man, he's 5 years old. You're a beast on a football field. Like, he might think he's a young writer. You know?
Right.
So he's
right.
like, one day when he go older, he might try to run, grab his head through a door and rock his thing. He's been hearing he's a beast. I'm a beast.
I can do it.
Remember I used to run up the middle? I can run anybody and anything over. So this dude can run through a glass door to rob a bank. But, hyperbole, we exaggerate and have some fun, but it's true. Like, we call our kids beasts.
Right.
You're a beast,
right.
man.
Right.
Instead of you a star. We're talking about, so these guys, ain't nobody running up. Like, I got, when I look up in the stands, I score a touchdown. I see 200 people up there.
Mm-hmm.
When I get my report card,
mm-hmm.
how many people tell me good job?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yo, at Peabody, you know, and again, I probably shouldn't have said the name, but, well, you know, at the high school that I played basketball for, man, the freshman only had to keep, I think I said this before, 1.0, man. 1.0, man. And the coach would have to come talk to us, like, hey, it's grade time, let me know if we have to talk to some teachers. And I'm like, coach, they only got to keep a 1.0, coach. He said,
No, man, I've been out of school a couple years, bro. I think one is a D.
Yeah, one is? That might not even be a D, man. Matter of fact, it might be a D.
Oh,
a 1.0, kids couldn't keep it, man.
We got to pay our bills. We got to come back to that because I'm glad you brought that up. But we're gonna talk about that. That's sad. One thing, gang. Our school is not only ours, but the school's part of our community.
Right, right.
So we're telling our kids it's okay to have a 1.0 in order to play sports. But we're going to pay our bills. We're going to go to commercial break. And we'll be back with the last segment of Conversations with Good Brothers. See you after the commercial break.
Compulsive eating affects millions of people worldwide. These are just some of the symptoms. If you feel powerless over food and unable to control the way you eat, you're not alone. Overeaters Anonymous can help. Through shared experience, strength, and hope, we provide an effective program and the support you need to stop compulsive eating. For more information about Overeaters Anonymous or to find a meeting in your area, visit our website at oa.org. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home.
If you're looking for award-winning Chicago-style pizza in Atlanta, make your way over to Chicago Nancy's Pizza in Buckhead. Chicago Nancy's Pizza serves up traditional crust, thin crust, our classic deep dish, along with the best wings in town. Enjoy them indoors while listening to live music on Friday nights, our karaoke on Saturday nights, or relaxing on the patio. Chicago Nancy's Pizza can also cater your next event. So stop by for your next slice of Chicago Nancy's Pizza at 3167 Peachtree Road, Northeast in Buckhead. Or for more information, call 404-842-9997. Visit us online at nancysbuckhead.com.
Welcome back to the Conversation with Good Brothers Talk Show. This is Sean Francis Coleman.
You got Darnell Ramsey. Thank you.
Sorry.
Great conversation, but, you know, before we went to break, and Brother Sean was talking about in school that they needed freshman year, the
1.0.
And I, you know, over Richmond, over the break, I was telling Sean that I think, you know, Pittsburgh Public Schools, you need a 1.5 will get you on the field, man.
That's crazy.
A 1.5. And I always thought you needed a 2.0 just to graduate.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know, maybe things change, and I need to get a little bit more involved in the academic side of our school system. But, yeah, I know it was a 1.5 to play sports, and that was because they were saying that, you know, that's, you know, if you lower the standards, the guys at least come to school to play sports.
Right.
So while they're in the classroom or while they come to play sports, we might be able to teach them something.
Nah, man, I can't. My thing is, you know, and I might be an extremist in a way, but if that's the case, man, send them home. Don't have them come, you know, and put them in jail. Put their parents in jail. Maybe that'll inspire you to want to really try harder, man, because that's a school just wanting to make money, man, because now I'm wondering if the school standards match the home standards, because if the school standards is to be a 1.5, if my son or daughter brought up a 1.5, it don't matter what the school standards is. You're not playing,
period.
You know what I'm saying?
And not even that, because, you know, there should be a pattern established well before you get to high school.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
Yeah, and one of the community football teams, they were saying they require their young men to bring their report cards or they won't play, or they're very active in the school. And I commended his brother. And I was telling him we need to make sure that, you know, when you go to these annual coach meetings, they implement that system so we can hold our young men more accountable and make sure that we're transitioning to school, because if your grades were in check, you still get to play on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take that because we're trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep coming back. I've been telling my friends, they got some thing I'm going to talk about as of late, our training.
Mm-hmm.
So if you mean, you know, from 5 all the way to 14 before mm-hmm. you go to high school, you ain't never did nothing academic class.
Mm-hmm.
What's so many different when you go into the high school when it counts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody checked my report card. My home life, they wasn't checking it. The coaches wasn't checking. I was a beast on the court. So what's we gonna get that mindset for high school? But here, the situation is now you can't read. Now you can't add.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have really cheated you our life because now you're going to be a high school dropout.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't even live your dream of possibly even making the school, possibly making it to the league, which is, you know, a small percentage. But we didn't even get you a high school diploma so you can, you know, take care of your family. So we have failed you by putting no emphasis on your sport. Because some of these kids, man, you know, they're very aggressive in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
but some of us think that's cool because football is an aggressive sport.
Right.
So they're taking their life skills that you're talking about on the
right.
field, taking that into the school.
Right.
I still get rewarded because I still go to practice.
Right.
I still get to play a game.
Right. I'm a beast.
I'm a beast. So this teacher better know. No, you don't know. You better come up, you know, you better come to my field and watch me play.
Right.
You're 7 years old, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, well, my coach just told me a piece, and you see, I have this attitude tangible on the field. Nobody corrects me because I'm that good.
But look at the line of influence, because great players make a great team. A great team make a great reputation for the school. Bring money to the school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to not Mr. Smith. I know he's doing bad in your class, but listen, we need him. We need him this weekend. Is there any way you can help us? And Mr. Smith, if you don't help us, I'm going to see you in my office on Monday afternoon.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So look at that, at that line of influence. You know what I'm saying? But I think on another flip side to what you're saying, it says that we said this on one of the past shows. We understand that not every person is going to be good in school.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain subjects that I'm not good at.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, and yes, there are some going to be certain kids that are not going to be academically inclined to do well, and they're going to be brilliant on the football field, the basketball court, or the hockey, you know what I'm saying, arena. But at the same time, if you're not able to get the grades, but you are a brilliant athlete, that doesn't change the fact that you don't have any wisdom,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have any character. How many people do we know who only have an 8th grade education? But got character.
Incredible people.
And are incredible people. So even though we are putting a lot of emphasis on education, if you have a child, a son or a daughter, niece, nephew, grandson or granddaughter who don't do good in school, who does not do good in school, that does not take away from the fact that the character aspect of them should not be being taught. Because that's really going to be the thing that carries over.
Yeah. Or we know they say the average NFL career is what, less than 5 years, MBA, but average sports career is less than 5 years. So I always tell young men, you might graduate or might go to the pop into the league at 22, I'm thinking, 5, 6, 7, so you'll be out the league before you're 30.
Wow.
What if you live, you won't live at least be 60 or
right, old. Right.
What do you do after that?
Right.
You know what I mean? But your character, you know,
right.
I'm talking about Magic Johnson. The reason why Magic Johnson is so successful is because, you know, his character allowed him to tap into some other benefits,
yeah.
some business opportunities that made him one of the more successful
players.
And, I come back to these Duke players. You know, their character allows them to tap into the business community to help them take advantage of, these financial opportunities for them. But, again, if we're not talking about character, and we go back to, speaking of sports, you know, because that was the topic of the show. One of the great things I liked about ESPN recently, they showed they had one of the 30 episodes, and they talked about, it was called Broke.
Mm-hmm.
And when Broke, it talked about that 85% of athletes go broke 3 years after retirement.
That's crazy.
3 years after, I mean, they had some of the top all pros, you know, who come out, you know, who end up, you know, going broke. You know, you're talking about even made 50 to 80 million dollars. That's a whole nother conversation. I don't believe these guys see that type of money.
Right.
But 3 years.
Right.
You retire at 34.
Right.
You broke by 37.
Right.
I mean, like, you
that's
have no
thing.
Money. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So coming back to, you know, when we teach them about, you know, we putting all this emphasis on sports young on. What about when they, you know, when they get older, how are they going to maintain this money?
Mm-hmm. But that's character development.
Mm-hmm.
character development. That comes from, look, you know what, I got all this money, but I remember when I was growing up, my mom and dad said, you know what, we're not going to get them because we're going to get these because they're a little bit more affordable. That's a budgeting class right there.
Right.
That's budgeting coaching from your parents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? And then we're going to save up and we're going to get this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even if you do or don't like that from your parents, if the character is there and you have respect for just common sense,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, you should be able to, I mean, take Allen Iverson, for example. I don't know him from Canada, Payton, never met him in my life, but you hear the stories about him in the sense that, like, he never had no money, he was influenced by his peers, and he didn't really have any financial intelligence. And so we see what happened to him,
mm-hmm.
we see what happened to Antoine Walker. Like, you told me one time, a lot of these cats is first-generation millionaires,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, who are being raised in situations like we all came up in. So you are a first-generation millionaire with no character, with no father, with you know what I'm saying, and nobody held you accountable?
No training.
What happened, that's what should have happened. You know what I mean?
That's what's going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the thing about that broke situation where, you know, it ain't one or two, man. It's a trend
mm-hmm.
that athletes are broken. No, they didn't come and let know. Even when they do this research, and even sometimes they exaggerate the numbers too, but 85%, even if they exaggerate, it's almost close to 56%.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How did you come from a predicament to where, you know, you grew up poor and somebody gave you $20 million, and even your net pay, if you made $60 million, your net pay is $20
million. Right.
How do you don't have any of that left
right.
over? You understand? But coming back to, you know, your emphasis that you place on your character.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was trying, because there's all types of programs in the NFL and these sports leagues that try to teach you about how to invest your money. But you ain't got no character. I know it all.
Yeah. Right?
I got $1 million on me right now. What are you telling me? You understand? So I ain't even willing to listen to you.
Right.
Because my character said, and there was so much emphasis placed while I was growing up. I think that these guys have been great sports players since they were in elementary school.
Yeah.
So we wasn't developing, we put more emphasis on their sports ability
right.
versus their overall human ability, their character abilities. These kids are trained to be arrogant,
mm-hmm.
overly confident,
mm-hmm.
and not humble
mm-hmm.
for 15 to 20 years
yeah.
through that adolescence, when
yeah.
they're supposed to be molding them.
Right.
Unfortunately, when they don't have a Mr. Coleman, when they don't have a Coach K keeping them humble, situations happen. That's how you go broke
yeah.
because nobody molded you.
Yeah.
And one thing, you know, speaking of Iverson, that's my man, you know, I don't know him personally, but I'm a Georgetown fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Georgetown fan growing up. And I remember John Thompson was another guy who was a man of character.
Mm-hmm.
So, that I was, you know, black coach that was had an all-black team at Georgetown, which was a very prominent law school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't know Georgetown. You don't even see black people on Georgetown's campus. But, you know,
I recently heard that it was like 1%. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Georgetown. But when you look at the basketball team,
yeah.
but that, you know, back in the 80s, John Thompson had an all-black basketball team going to Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing, you know, John Thompson was a father figure, everybody's father figure. But, you know, when as soon as Allen Iverson left, John Thompson got out of sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I guess he was, you know, he had learned, like, nah, that ain't, you know, there's a new wave of sports player coming
mm.
that I don't want to be a part of.
Mm.
You understand? So, you know, John Thompson, he still, you know, did the announcement, but that was very interesting that Allen Iverson, he was saying, you know, he got Allen Iverson out of jail, got him into school, but, you know, Allen Iverson was a, you know, there ain't been another athlete since Allen Iverson be that small, because he was better football
mm.
than he was basketball, they say.
Mm.
So you figure Allen Iverson was praised.
Mm.
From 4 years, 5 years old, all the way through, John Thompson got him out of jail
mm.
because of his academic, I mean, because of his football ability or his sports abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So when did he learn character development?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes from in the middle of the town when he's supposed to be, you know, he's 21, somebody's supposed to be humbling you. Now he's the number one overall draft pick in the whole city of Philly telling you he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Where did character development come at?
But see, you see, I don't want to, again, I want to play both sides of the fence because I'm big on that. I'm big on that character development. If it's not there, yes, it's understandable for me to understand that, okay, there's a reason for why you're doing what you're doing. But there also comes a time where I would like to believe that your individuality maybe should kick in, or maybe your common sense should kick in the sense that if you're really about the community like you say you is, if you're really about the community like you say you is, I would think that you'd be able to assess the bigger picture and go, you know what, something ain't right, and I'm going to be the change that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the change that I need to see.
So you think common sense is common?
I don't think common sense is common at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But I also think that even when people have that moment, like, you know what, I need to do this, they don't have the courage because so much emphasis is placed on these other things. And that's why I look at the Darnells, the Maurys, the other people that we know, the BJs and the women, the Sharices, people like that, people who are courageous enough to be themselves through a crowd of people who are totally different, not losing dignity and self-face.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But we don't have a lot of people like that. So, again, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, yes, there's power in having the Father there, but that's not the answer all either.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It really, everything is within you. Is within you.
Yeah,
what do you want to do?
But it also takes, it takes some training, you know, and some coaching, because, yeah, the ultimate responsibility falls on you.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, when we talk about we putting so much, if I could dribble a basketball and somebody telling me it's more important to dribble a basketball than it is to become developed, to be developed as a person, unfortunately, subconsciously, I'm going to put more emphasis on my basketball abilities and my athletic abilities versus my character. Only when you get humbled by that great creator of ours that we start to change our, you know, shift our dependence to, like, man, maybe I need to work on, you know, be a little bit more humble. But how many head knocks do you get to get to that point?
But the problem is some people never do it.
But, you know, I would love for it to be second nature, like, you know, so much is given, much is respond, you know, much is given, much is expected. But look at our situation on TV, man.
Mm-hmm.
We idolize these football players. Ben Roethlisberger, how many cases did dude catch?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He having sex with girls, underage girls in bathrooms. But
mm-hmm.
he's a 3-time Super Bowl or 2-time Super Bowl winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we praise him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the offseason, all the stuff you hear about these athletes, but because we got a couple of dollars, you know, people dismiss that. You know, some of their character, and we all have character flaws.
All of us. All of us. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to make like, you know, I just want to put emphasis on their character flaws, but sometimes we'll forgive them a little bit quicker because they're athletes, because they have so perceived to have all this money, and we need to hold anybody on TV a little bit more accountable because, you know, our kids and, you know, the communities are watching.
One of the things as we wrap up, man, that I want to, just add, and try to leave people with is that, again, I don't like going back, especially since we talk about in our community, the Black community. I don't like going back to slavery. I really don't. But, I mean, that was a very pivotal time because I think that part of the emphasis that has been placed on sports is because when you think about the dynamic of slavery, and it says that we wasn't allowed to do much but entertain people. So, you know, we still living in a response to that. We still living in the spirit of a broken spirit. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is that you got to break through that broken spirit. And that's what I want to leave people with, is to break through that broken spirit. You know, we might be living in a response to slavery. We might be living in the spirit of slavery. And we might be behaving, still acting out things 200 years old. But you have to break through that broken spirit if there's going to be any type of real change.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't say no more on that. But, you know, just, you know, wrap it up. We got another, about a minute to go. But, you know, to our communities, again, you know, sports is great, a great avenue for our boys to get some of that aggression out of them. But as Sean had mentioned throughout the conversation, but also sports is a great avenue for us to teach our young men and girls about life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would place a little bit more emphasis on the life skills versus the sports skills or the athletic skills. That's going to come later on. But when we have these young people, and when I say in our community, I'm talking about a lot of times we put emphasis on the little ones. And that's the time where we're supposed to be building up their character, and developing their character while we have them, and don't put so much emphasis on their physical attributes. I challenge all of us to be a little bit more put more emphasis on our character building skills and our coaching skills when we're working with our young men. And even people who are not coaching, all of us be better role models of good character.
Yeah. Say no more. We appreciate you all. We love everybody for allowing us to speak.
And, we
forget you too, man.